Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, everybody. This is Raz Williams, your host. Welcome to Can We Talk Fridays, where we keep it real, we keep it right, and more importantly, we keep it godly. This show is coming to you live every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I hope you guys had a good week and are looking forward to a great weekend. Well, as always, I'm excited to do today's show, which I believe is long overdue. Guys, here's one thing that I've noticed is that most boys travel the road from boyhood to adulthood, but they never reach manhood. That is not a criticism. It's just an irrefutable statement of fact. The question we must answer is, how did so many males miss undoubtedly the most critical part of their life, the part of becoming a man? There has been a subtle subversion of manhood. Certain people, certain groups, and certain organizations have set about to hinder the normal operation of properly transitioning a boy from boyhood to manhood. Their plot is to overthrow manhood from its foundation. They accomplish this underhanded scheme by systematically and methodically undermining the character, the godliness, the morals, and allegiance of these males while they are young. This subtle subversion of manhood has taken place right underneath our noses, and because it was done in such a crafty and cunning manner, most people, including most pastors, have missed this. What does subverted version of manhood look like? Well, the subverted version of manhood convinces a male that he has reached the pinnacle of manhood when he has proven the following things. Number one, he has the ability to make money and acquire wealth. He has the ability to acquire male status symbols. He has a buff physique. He has athletic prowess on the court or on the field. He is versed at exploiting women sexually. He is adept at domineering women physically. He has the ability to successfully shrug responsibilities. He has the ability to make babies. He has the ability to hold his liquor. He has the ability to handle his drug use. These are some of the crazy examples out there, which a lot of males buy into, that by doing these things, they're actually men. There are many reasons for this, and I believe the media, music, and Hollywood are one of the major influences in this type of programming. The role models for the average young boy and teen male are found on MTV, BET, WWF, the basketball courts, the football fields. Ironically, many of the prominent males they admire are very blunt in declaring that they are not trying to be anyone's role model. To prove their point, their lives are ridiculed and riddled with drugs, alcohol addictions, fraternity suits, divorces, domestic violence, arrests, infidelities, public vulgarity, rebellion, suspensions, fines, and other erratic and bizarre immature behaviors and anti-Christ lifestyles. So guys, remember this. Satan is very subtle. He uses the sophisticated guise of rap music, the music culture, pop music, gangster rap. He's effectively inspired many males, and particularly African-American males, to forgo manhood. Instead of manhood, they opt to imitate the thug spirit. To these young males, being a thug is like a badge of honor. the definition of an aggressive young criminal, a deceiver, a robber, a cutthroat, a hoodlum. The devil has successfully used music and the modern culture to trick young males into seeing themselves as criminals, hoodlums, and cutthroats, as opposed to men of God. So, guys, tonight's show is going to be titled The Definition of a Godly Man. I'm going to say it one more time. The Definition of a Godly Man. Guys, if you have a question or comment, you can call us at, reach us at 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Well, I want to introduce my panel of co-hosts today. I believe we have Nikki on the line. Nikki, how you doing?
I'm fine.
Good, Nikki. Nikki, you had a good week?
Yeah, I had a good week. It was busy, but it was good.
Awesome. Nikki, what do you think about today's title of today's show?
I think it's a good show. I think it's a good title, rather. Necessary information should come across the panel for, women and for men who are transitioning out of the world, into being saved. You know, the definitions that should go across should, I think, empower and enlighten people, the listeners, should I say.
Absolutely. And I want to introduce for the first time on Can We Talk Radio is Minister Rice. Minister Rice, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Pretty good. Minister Rice, it's good to have you on Can We Talk. Minister Rice, what do you think of today's title?
Good. It's a very good topic. I deal with a lot of I do a lot of street evangelizing and also prison ministries, and I find that there is, you know, you've got 50 and 60-year-old bangers, you know, with their pants still hanging down. However, I do want to say that when you train up a child in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart. I mean, when they mature to a point where they get it, where they understand it, then they reach that adulthood, that manhood, that womanhood. Now, part of the reason I think, there are a lot of different pieces, a lot of moving pieces. One of them is mothers without men in the home, and mothers are raising their daughters and loving their sons, okay? Now, that's not always the case, and I'm not really knocking mothers for doing the best that they could do, because without mothers, a lot of these kids would just be lost, lost, lost. But I believe that's a big part of the problem. There's not like a male role model, you know, in the home or in the neighborhood. When I was growing up, I did have a mother and a father. However, what stuck out to me in the neighborhood wasn't I used to talk about my dad for being a brown bagger, you know, square. But the people that stuck out was the hip, slick and cool characters in the neighborhood. They kind of stuck out. I kind of gravitated towards them in my early life, you know, before I got it. So this is a great, great topic. And I'll speak more on it later on. I know you have other guests that want to speak.
Absolutely. It's good to have you on the show. Next, I want to introduce to the first time on Can We Talk Radio is James. James, how you doing, sir?
Hey, wonderful, wonderful. How about yourself?
Oh, awesome, man. James, man, good to have you on the show, man. What do you think of tonight's topic?
It's a tremendous, tremendous topic. I mean, this is what we're with it that is needed today, because the fact is that the enemy comes to steal the seed, and usually the male is the seed. And what have happened today in today's society, most of us, because of the fact that most of us are raised by single parents, most of the mothers are the ones taking care of these boys. And they kind of assume that, hey, if I can raise a male figure, or I can raise a man, and it's not necessarily so. I think what they knew, we need to pray for these kids that they're some way, somehow, as they're going through life, yes, the mother figure is doing a tremendous job with them, but we got to pray that there's a mentor, maybe a coach, maybe a football coach, maybe a basketball coach, or maybe a teacher somewhere that's a male figure in the church that will influence their life. to become men of God. So it's a
absolutely. That's an awesome point. All right, guys. Well, listen, let's move on with the show. Nikki, we don't have Ronnie right now. I wanted to see if we could go into a little bit of the news. Nikki, I know when we talked the last time, we were talking about the Preachers of L.A. I want to quickly go into that real quick, if you don't mind. And did you get a chance to watch the show, Nikki?
Yeah, I think everybody is watching that show.
Right. So so let me ask you, what do you think of, what were your thoughts about that show?
I know you said that you guys talked about it last week and I didn't get a chance to listen to the show. So I may be echoing some things that were obvious, but to me, I think that the show is doing nothing but what it's supposed to do in this day and time, which is usher in the Antichrist movement cause the new Christian or the new believer to be not, lukewarm and basically to be compromised, because the show in itself is compromised. The whole content is not, it's anti-Christ, period. So.
Right, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to open up that topic to anyone else. If you have any comments on that, Minister Rice.
I'd like to say that, you know, I really hate to put mouth on, you know, pastors who are called by God. And I have to assume they're called by God because I'm not God. You know, I can't call anybody. I don't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. I did look at the show. I've seen maybe 3 episodes so far because I really would like to get an idea of, like, where are you coming from? What is this about? And, I mean, it's entertaining. That's all it is. I did see Bishop, what's his name, from Riverside?
Ron Gibson.
Yeah, I mean, he did bring a couple of guys to Christ, you know, a couple of lifelong gangbangers, brought them to Christ. He took them out, bought them some shoes, just spent some time with them, you know, bought them some shoes, took them to get the shoes shined. He's taken them to a church close to where they live. I believe they live in Compton, and he's going to make sure that the pastor, you know, sticks with them. And, you know, and that's kind of what we're supposed to do. That's the less glamorous, the least glamorous of what preachers and any saints of God do is evangelize and follow up. That's the least glamorous, you know, going into prison. That's not very glamorous. When you can lay hands on people and they fall out, I mean, that's very glamorous. You can get a stadium full of people and lay hands on people and they get up and walk. I mean, that's real glamorous. You know, but just to do the blue collar work, as I call it in Christianity, which is evangelizing, you know, soul winning. I did see that going on, and I was pleased to see that. Now, whatever else is going on, well, like I say, I don't have a heaven or hell to put anybody in. Amen?
Amen, but he's about the only one that I would say on the show that, to me, his story is believable.
Yeah.
He's about the only one on there so
yes.
far. I don't
yes.
know too much about Chaney. They haven't showed too much of him. But mm-hmm. as far as everything else goes besides Bishop Gibson, everything else to me is entertainment.
Yeah, entertainment,
but,
yeah.
But the thing is that...
Is it edifying?
Right, and there's nothing entertaining about
mm-hmm.
the gospel. There's nothing
Absolutely.
That the gospel, Jesus Christ, is not to be made a mockery of. And
yeah,
and
yeah.
that's exactly what's happening on there. So that's why I said, to me, it's doing exactly what this day and time is calling for. And that is to usher in the lukewarm, compromised church because Dietrich Haddon is on there, and, you know, you can say it's editing or whatever, but unless they're voicing over your words, then you're saying this. But Dietrich Haddon is on there basically saying what he said. Shacking is not in the Bible. And the word shacking is not in the Bible. However, what is in the Bible
is fornication.
And it also says, don't let your good be evil spoken of. So if I'm dating someone and we're living in a home together and we're supposed to be Christians, but we're not married, we're going to get married.
Amen.
How can I
Amen.
Explain to the outside world that we're not having sex? Because the outside world is going to assume, especially we have a baby already, the outside world is going to assume that you're having sex. You know, you've already done it. So, therefore, your good is going to be evil spoken of. Everything, your walk, therefore, is now compromised. How can you minister to me and tell me not to shack or commit adultery? Or, excuse me, because he said the word shacking is not in the Bible. How can you tell me about committing fornication or adultery when you're allowing your good to be evil spoken of and you're a minister?
Amen. Amen. Amen.
That's an awesome point, Nikki.
That whole thing is just, that's what it's for, is entertainment, but it's to dull down the church. It's to try and make the church look like it has absolutely no power, and in this day and time, most churches don't. And it's that lukewarm thing that's going on. And so
there was a time when churches had power.
Right.
And you'd walk into some of those churches and see wheelchairs and canes and stuff against the wall, you know, where
people had
gotten healed. I mean, people would just walk by the offering table and touch it. Hallelujah.
Right.
You know, that it's not there today. Now, did God move?
No,
I understand. That's right.
And
so
see, that's
who moved?
The problem.
Who moved? There you go.
The problem is that people have more. It's more religion than relationship.
Right.
And when you have religion, you can go through the motion and you can perform the emotion caused by the music or the pastor hollering or him saying something good. But then when you're just in religion, once the emotion passes, you're right back to that same compromised nature.
Mm-hmm.
And back
Absolutely.
In the day where the power was, there was relationship. And we've gotten away from that because it's about the prosperity and the money and the, I don't want to make the people in the congregation upset because I need them to keep paying the tithes and the offering. It's not about making people upset. It's about speaking the unadulterated word of God and what it says.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You know what, James, do you have anything to add to that?
You know what, I think sometimes people have taken the word of God, which is grace, and take it to an outer limit. Because people look at grace and say, all right, it's the unmerited favor of God, and you know what? I didn't do nothing to earn it. I can't do nothing to lose it. And basically some pastors have signified or let the people know, hey, it's all right to do this, and God has forgiven you already. However, I differ with that because when you look at a person's heart, a really converted human being, someone that know the Lord, okay, and have that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, always seems to want to do what's right.
Yes.
There's that conviction. And the Holy Spirit doesn't condemn. The devil bring condemnation. The Holy Spirit bring conviction. But there's a conviction there that says, this is not right. I ought not do this. A person could just walk to the altar today and could be a prostitute or could be a lesbian or whatever. That person gets saved, and it's amazing. They move, and today they want to change their life. Today they don't want to go back and do the things that they were doing before. Okay, so because
Absolutely. Okay, well, you know what? I'm sorry, James, go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm saying a seed of righteousness have been sown within their heart. So yes, as everybody in the panel had said, it's a lukewarm church, but we as individual need to be prayed up and stay prayed up and kind of trust the Father, because the Father already do everything He will do.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Right.
Starting, you know, with the wheat, starting with the wheat and the tares.
Right.
Let me just add this real quick, and you know, I just want to add that I Nikki, I agree with your comments. I believe that we as believers, we've been told and instructed to know those who labor amongst us. And the Bible calls in the last days that even the very elect will be deceived. And understand this, that in these last days we're living in, Satan has sown wolves that are dressed in sheep's clothing amongst us to cause deception on a high level. And the Bible in the book of Revelation talks about the church of Laodicea, which is a lukewarm church, a church that has left their first love, a church that is whoring after Babylon and the world system. And we're seeing that now as so much, as the old, they would say in the old days in church, strange fire has come up in the church, such as homosexuality and all kinds of things going on. And you know, I'm looking at this Preachers of L.A., and all it seems to me is that I'm looking at book deals, record deals, speaking engagements, interviews may come, platforms are going to be developed. You know, it's really turning into celebrity Christianity. And this is why I say this, and I say this because they're denying the substance of the kingdom of God. God, the apostles were instructed to go out and preach the good news, the news of the kingdom throughout the entire world. And I don't see this being happening. I just see a disgrace, a blemish being brought to the name of Christ Jesus to turn people away from Christ. And I believe that, again, Nikki, we talked about this, that Oxygen is the one who's airing the show. Who owns Oxygen is owned by the OWN Network, and who owns OWN? It's Oprah Winfrey Network. And Oprah Winfrey, we know, is anti-Christ. She's a new age. She is anti-Christ. She does not believe that Christ is the true and only way to salvation, to reach the Father. So that tells you right there what gender is all about. And it's amazing how these pastors are not questioning that. And, you know, Ron Gibson, I love Pastor Ron Gibson. That's my old pastor. But at the same time, we really have to be careful, and we really have to call things as though they really aren't, and stand up for what Christ is all about.
Right.
Nikki, what do you want to comment?
I mean, I'm not going to say that they don't know, because they had to know. When they signed contracts and all that they had to know, they made the conscious decision to go into it. And I think that is right. It's about a celebrity, and it's like, okay, like I used to be in the music industry, and what it is that to make it in the industry, you basically have a gimmick, because millions of people are talented, but what causes you to stand out from the next person that can sing or can rap or do poetry or whatever? You have to have some type of a gimmick. Well, the thing is when you look at television or listen to the radio, everything in the secular world has been done, redone, twisted, split, done again. So now what's happening is they're tapping into the quote-unquote gospel world, okay? So by it being Preachers of L.A. and by these preachers being known preachers on top of that, it's like this is a new thing to exploit. But we have to get the people, the preachers, quote-unquote, who are willing to go along with it. And so, of course, these men knew that, you know, who they were signing up under. But all it does is if you don't even really have to be that discerning. But if you're discerning and paying attention to what's going on, you're seeing who was actually before you in the first place. So it is about, you know, and what does Dietrich Haddon keep saying? He keeps saying that he's basically back to relaunch himself. What are you relaunching? If you messed up and made a mistake, you submit, you repent for your sins, and you move on. But his whole goal is to be in that limelight and to bring that money in. And if you pay attention to him, someone who truly has a repentant heart is not defensive like he is. He is absolutely
very defensive, very emotional
about everything. You can't be nobody, his, from his fiance to his to-be mother-in-law to the other ministers on the show, they can't say anything to him because he feels so attacked because his heart is not changed. And so all he's doing is, like my daughter, she's 19. You know, my kids are raised in Christ, not just in the church, but in Christ. And when Dietrich Haddon said that, I'm so sick of you bishops preaching stuff that's not in the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't shack. My daughter looked at me and said, so you can live together? I'm like, no, you can't. So therefore, I have to break out Bible and show her where. So just imagine all of those people who don't have the foundation like I have, who adults as well as children who heard that. Now it's like, okay, it's okay to live like this. You know what I mean?
I'm sorry. I just want to say that each one of those individuals, I have heard messages from them that just stirred my soul. I mean, my ears burned. I mean, Bishop Jones, Bishop McClendon, Cheney, Raz, your old pastor. I mean, they have some stirring messages. I mean, these are very learned men. Now, and Haddon, you know, he's got some songs that, you know, God is able to do just what he said. I mean, it's an amazing song. Having said that, I want to say this. It's possible for someone that is in sin to speak words of life to you and save your soul while hell enlarges to receive them. Amen?
Well, amen, because the word says that there are going to be people who are going to stand before the Lord and say, but Father, I cast out demons in your name. I healed the sick in your name. So these are not just ordinary people that's going to be standing before God saying that. Therefore,
absolutely,
put you in the mind, these are going to have to be pastors and prophets and deacons. And so, of course, you know what I mean? I mean, let's take it a step further. Satan was in heaven. Lucifer was in heaven. And he tripped out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, all we're doing is really not saying that these men are lost, because unless they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they still have time to turn things around. But what I'm saying is a lot of blood is going to be on their hands because of what's being portrayed through that television. Therefore, people are going to be tainted. They're going to be responsible for a lot of people who are compromised. And that's
okay,
why
and
I
let's go ahead.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Nikki. Finish your point.
I mean, we just have to be real about it. People sit and they watch TV, they pay attention, and the church has already been constantly ridiculed about pastors being pimps and why do they live like this and blah, blah, blah. And me personally, because we serve an almighty God, if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing as a pastor, God is going to take care of his own. So I don't look
at
that.
That's right.
I have a relationship with God. I don't have a relationship with man. The Bible tells me to pay my tithe. So I do what I do because that's
as
what
unto
God.
That's right.
Now, what
that's
that man does with it, that's his business.
That's between,
him
and God.
I'm going to do and I believe God should take care of, you know, his own. That's what he does. He owns the cattle on a thousand. He owns cattle on a thousand hills. But the fact of the matter is they're actually getting on TV. And they're one of the first shows, Dietrich Haddon and McClendon got into it because Dietrich Haddon said to McClendon, do you think it's right that you charge people to go and speak? And McClendon said, well, if you basically can't afford my entourage, then you don't get my ministry. When did it become his ministry? When did he die on a cross for anybody?
Exactly.
So therefore, that's what the world is talking about.
Let me just say this real quick, Nikki, and I'm sorry, Minister Rice. Let me say this real quick, that the gifts of God are without repentance. These men may have, Minister Rice, you mentioned they have certain gifts. They may have certain gifts that they may sing and it moves emotion, it causes your emotions to be hyped up, but there's no anointing behind that message, and this is what we're talking about. And these last days, we're living in, there's going to be a distinction of the people who are religious, who are going through the motions, know the churchies and know the vernacular and the movements, the duck and the jiving, versus the true anointed, those who are walking and speaking the word of faith. And this is the distinction we're talking about. And people who are not the religious people, they love this show because it caters to their fleshly nature, versus the people who are truly walking and abiding by the things of Christ are saying, hang on a minute here, there's something wrong with this picture here. And again, we're not judging people, but you will know them by their fruits. And that's
right.
Comment.
That's right. I have a question. Is it, okay, it's not like we didn't know there were preachers out here like that. Amen?
Amen.
We knew that. So
plenty of them.
So what what really is the issue? The fact that it's on TV and exposed, I mean, that light is brought on it for everyone to see, is that the issue?
The issue is because they are calling themselves representing the body of Christ.
That's not a true representation.
That's not a true representation, and you're already having, there's already a battle with winning souls. I mean, not just with Christianity in itself, but then you also have the other thing with the Catholicism, with the priest and the kids, and so you have all this stuff that's being perverted. And our job, the true believers, our job is to snatch souls back from hell. And it's like if we're trying to snatch souls back from hell, but then we have these big names that are working against us instead of with us because they're trying to line their pockets, that makes it that much more difficult, and it makes your job that much harder instead of us working together. And then you said something. You said that all of these men, they've given a word that have stirred your soul. Diedrich Haddon has sang songs, that basically have ministered. But the thing is with that, like you said, you know, a sinner can preach and bring somebody in, but God also used the donkey. God will use who's necessary to get his message across.
That's right.
What I mean? And so it's just like there's a difference.
A dead fig tree. He'll use a dead fig tree.
Right. There's a difference between emotion and anointing, and that the problem is that a lot of people can't decipher the difference because the anointing isn't that strong in the churches that much anymore because mostly everybody in leadership is compromised somehow. And so that's the problem.
You know what? Go ahead.
Yeah.
I think that part of it is, you know, I was listening to a pastor the other day. We were sitting in his church, and he was saying, how come it can't be like it used to be? You know? And I'm thinking, well, what he wants to do is, you know, because this is one of those denominations that is steeped in tradition. Mm-hmm. And what he wanted to do was shackle the folk up with that old tradition. And then as he was seeking to shackle them with that old tradition, then he prayed and said, Lord, give us a fresh anointing. do a new thing. So my point is that even with the Catholic Church and with some of the denominations, they tend to worship the old clothes of the Lord and not truly the Lord himself. Do you understand that?
Right. Well, the Bible says tradition is the only thing that makes the word of God to no effect.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus said that. So we all know that tradition, but probably what he was saying was, let's get back to that old time. How many times have you seen of late, probably even the last 10 years, a pastor, a deacon, a usher, somebody on the front row, somebody that saved, period, cast a demon out of somebody?
That's right.
You see what I'm saying? But the days of old, that was a regular thing. That was something regular. You know what I mean? Somebody was sitting in church, and the church was so on fire and had the unperverted power of God and the Holy Spirit sitting in there to where if something was going on, that thing couldn't even sit. You got witches and warlocks sitting right in the middle of these ministries.
That's right.
Now. And
that's right.
Actually, some of them in the pulpit. I mean, but back in the day, the power was so strong and the anointing was so strong to where it couldn't sit. It would be disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore,
mm-hmm.
it would have to be cast out and go. So that's
mm-hmm.
probably
and
what he's talking about. But tradition, no, because like the word said, tradition is the only thing to make the word of God have no effect.
I think it goes to something that was said earlier, relationship.
Right, exactly.
Relationship, your relationship, your vertical relationship with the Lord.
Right. Right.
And
right.
That's
absolutely
what's missing.
Absolutely. Okay, guys, well, that's definitely good on this topic. I want to get on with the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And, Nikki, to your point, though, real quick, though, you mentioned that the church is – and the church is losing power because – you know why? Because there's compromise. And there's massive compromise in the church. And, you know, I was listening to Craig Lewis. I'm not sure if you know who he is. He preaches about the truth behind hip-hop.
Oh, yeah, I love Craig Lewis.
And G. Craig Lewis made a point that there was a – and if I'm not going to mention the bishop's name because you all know who he is, but he's one of the biggest Kojic churches in Los Angeles. And
mm-hmm.
and they bought a young R&B singer to this bishop and asked him to cast out a demon. And the demon manifested in this young man and said, you know what, he can't do nothing. He's down with us. I just thought that very ironic. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I mean, very interesting. So you know, demons know who the true anointed are, and they know who the compromisers are. So, but anyway, I mean, enough about that. Let's be on with the show, guys. If you're listening for the first time, we are talking about the definition of a godly man. The number to call us is 347-945-7310. That number again is 347-945-7310. Hopefully, you know, all the men and even a lot of women who've, if you're raising young men right now, I know Nikki's on the show. She's raising a young man herself, she comes from a family full of strong men of God, and that's why we have her on the show tonight. So, guys, call us in with a question or comment. All right. So, listen, on with the show. As men of God, God has called us to master manhood. Each of us is to have a command of manhood. We ought to be experts at being a man in life. But some men are certified as master plumbers and master electricians. These men have mastered their respective trades and are able to teach other men how to be a plumber or an electrician. So if you're one of those men right now listening to the show and you're scratching your head about fatherhood, manhood, or about being a husband, do you have questions about how to find this right or how to avoid this wrong, wondering which way to go in life? This show is for you guys. And here's my question to the panel tonight. How did so many males come to misunderstand godliness in the church and also manhood? And that comment is to James.
Well, first of all, when we talk about godly men, you just cannot grow up as a child or a male, become a boy, become a man, and become a godly man. You have to be born again. Now, based on that phrase, some people might not understand that phrase. They might not understand the phrase that say, hey, you got to be saved. However, you have to have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart as your personal Lord and Savior. Now, once that happens, okay, there's certain things you got to do. After you have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart, you need information. You need instruction. You need direction. So you need to learn to pray. You need to learn to spend time with the Lord or with your Savior and grow. You need to learn to worship. You need to learn to go to church. So all these things is defining a godly man, is a man that chooses to do what's right, a man that is able to forgive, a man that is able to change his way to love, and these are some of the attributes, okay? You can go on later on and pick up more as you go along into the word, but your heart have changed, and you just want to do what is right. You're not perfect. You work towards that, but you just want to do what is right. And the rest of the panel can go on from there.
Absolutely. And Minister Rice, same question to you.
You know, I'm reminded of some of the statistics, which is this is about the sixth generation of Negro, black people who have not been exposed to the church. It's about the ninth generation for others of European descent who have not been exposed to the church. I'm a little bit older, I guess, than most of you on the panel. And I come out of a church family. When you went down south, you know, everybody went to church. You know, they jump in a car or walk the road or get in a buggy with some mules. I mean, everything went to church. You know, the chickens, it's following behind the buggy. The dogs, it's following behind that. And everybody in the house went. You just grew up that way. Now you have people who have not been exposed to the church in generations. They can't go back to grandma or great grandma. They can't go back. They can't go back far enough to find where that exposure is. So that's part of the problem. You know, I heard what James said. He said they don't know that. You know, what it means to be saved, what it means to go to church, what it means to worship, what it means because they haven't been exposed to it. And one of the things we find when we go into youth houses, you know, juvenile detentions, is that they have a heart for it. They just don't know what it is because they haven't been exposed to it. Part of the problem is in the family. Part of the problem is the church. You know, we sit up in our little religious clubhouse, you know, and do our little whatever the gyrations are we do. Then we jump in our car and go back home. You know, you go in some parts of South Central Los Angeles, and, you know, they're stepping over drug addicts and homeless people trying to get into their private little religious club. Go through their gyrations, step over those same people coming out, get in their cars, and go home. So part of it's on the church, why folk are not being exposed as they should be. You know, that's just some of the reasons why I think folk are not exposed to the church and why young men are not exposed to the church. To be a godly man is to understand and to know Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. That's definitely the foundation. Nikki, you're raising a young man, your son is a teenager. Do you have anything to add to that that first comment?
Actually, no, because by me not being a man, all the only thing I could do is listen. I couldn't tell you why, you know, men don't know how to be godly. Only thing that I can assume would be the role model in front of them. But
amen.
Even with it got what I mean by it is other godly male role models. And, you know, a lot of them, even in back in the day, they didn't
mm-hmm.
have them. So
mm-hmm.
who their role models were pimps and players and gangsters
mm-hmm.
and,
mm-hmm.
you know, who they didn't have role models. So they basically, it was the blind leading the blind. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, it started way back in slavery where the male was taken out of the home. So
yep.
that whole thing just kept passing down. Now I'm talking about the African-American community. That
mm-hmm.
thing just kept passing down, passing down, passing down. And so there is like basically a generational curse type of thing with
mm.
the males and the men and the father in the fathers in the home, and especially the godly ones, because
mm.
the dads that are in the home they're basically doing the best that they can. Some of them, they had a good father, but it's very rare that they did. The others, maybe they had a father, but, you know, he was a player and he played around on the mom and beat her and all that. And so it's like, you know, they're grasping at straws. They're doing what they think is good, but they didn't have that good, godly male role model in front of them. And then on top of that, nobody taught them how to have a relationship with the father. Because I don't care if you didn't have a role model, if you were an orphan, whatever the case may be, if you have a personal relationship with God where he's tangible, he'll show you everything that you need. But see, that there, that's another reason why there's such a problem, because the church is not teaching that, because a lot of the pastors don't have a right relationship.
Right, right.
So, you know, how can I teach you something that I don't even know? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, the key to all of it is having a right relationship with God, even right now today. It could be men listening right now today. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to be a godly man. Your thing is to get on your face before the Lord and say, God, show me, teach me, open my ears so I can hear, so I'll know, order my steps. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's my comment is, I think because they don't know how to have a relationship and they didn't have that good godly role model in front of them.
You know, I was confused of me. I have a 10-year-old son, okay? And he said to me one day, he said, Dad, if I wasn't a Christian, just because of you, I would be a Christian.
See?
I said, son, why is that? Why? He said, Dad, I have been around mom and her friends, and I have been around other people, other men, and I hear them curse, they swear. I never see them read a Bible. I don't see them go to church. I don't see them pray. Dad, I have never heard you curse anyone. Even when mom talks bad to you, you still say, let's pray for her, son. Let's do this, son. Do the right. And so he picked that example up and he said, Dad, just by watching you, I'll be a Christian. So I think we got to set an example, some of us that call ourselves men of God, some of us that do go to church. We people don't understand. Right now I'm teaching a class at the church, and I'm teaching high school, and I'm teaching the boys in high school. And sometimes it amazes me that you might think they're not looking at you or they're not watching you, but they are.
Yeah, kids, pay attention.
You don't think they're listening to you, but they are. So be an example of godliness. Be what you are as a man of God. You are like Jesus Christ in the flesh upon the earth. So show them what Jesus is like.
Right.
That's basically it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, my next point is that, you know, for me that the kind of representation we're seeing of godly men in the church today are, you know, as we've been talking about in past pastors of L.A., is not what it should be. It's not what the Bible describes as a godly man. And Minister Rice, why would you say that there's a decline in the integrity of men of God today in the church?
Wow, that's a big one. I still say, as it was of old and as it is today, you still have a larger group of role models in the church than you do outside the church. Okay? Though it's dwindling, you know, and as you say, men of integrity, I mean, you know, from cheating on your taxes to cheating on your wife to, you know, down low to, you know, just holy on Sunday and raising hell all week till you get to Sunday and then you're holy. And that's not just men either. But why is that? I think it goes back to something we've got, everybody has said, your vertical relationship with the Lord. Because if you truly are saved, you're going to get convicted.
Right.
You know, the Holy Spirit's going to convict you. You know, and you can't just keep ignoring the I've described it as kind of a nagging, you know, the nagging of the Holy Spirit telling you,
right.
you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just stays on you and on you and on you until you repent. Some people don't have that. The Holy Spirit is like a governor. Trucks have governors. It's something in those big trucks so that they don't go over 65. They can't go over 65 because, it'll start sputtering. They have a governor in it. The Holy Spirit that dwells within us is like a governor. You aren't going to go but so far, you know, before you get reined back in. Amen?
Amen.
So if you're lacking integrity and if you're doing some things that are without integrity, obviously the Holy Spirit doesn't dwell within you, and maybe – like I say, I don't have a heaven or a hell to put anybody in, and I can't save nobody, but maybe you're not truly saved.
You know what? I have found out with some of those men that you guys have talked about, okay? And I don't call no names, but I've found out that sometimes it's not that the individual is not saved.
Mm-hmm.
What have happened is that they have chosen to take their plan and try to conform God into their plan.
Uh-huh.
All right, God has a plan for their life, but they have a plan that they want God to fulfill. And so if God say, listen, this is the way I'm going to bless your ministry. I want you to minister this way to certain people, but they say, I am lacking some finances. I need certain amount of money, and I have a plan how to make money. And so what happened, they choose now to take the word of God and twist it just a little like a deceiver, just like the enemy, like the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And because they have a big following, you cannot deny, okay, it's amazing with all these men of God, there's a big, tremendous following. They have a following. So they are influencing a lot of people. All right, so they choose to, and that's what I see. It's like, hey, should I do God's plan or my plan?
Mm-hmm.
To do their plan. And so most people will not see that, but as a tremendous believer, someone that loves the Lord Jesus Christ with their heart, that is crying out to the Father, that wants right to be done, will see through that. But most people will not.
Well, see, that's the thing. Satan did the same thing. Satan didn't want to go by God's plan. Well, Lucifer,
mm-hmm.
he didn't want to go by God's plan. He wanted to do his own plan. And then it was some of those angels, what, a third of the angels, who couldn't see through it and got cast down right with him. So, you know, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun, but the same thing went on in heaven too. So if it went on in heaven, it definitely is going to go on down here. So I think you said it, James, earlier. I'm not sure, but I think it was you. It's about you. Therefore, it's like you have to work out your own soul salvation. So who are you as an individual with your relationship with the Father? So now we go back to that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm not here to preach, though.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, guys, all instructions about manhood must come from our Creator, the Lord God Almighty, and Him only. He reveals those instructions to us from one source, His written word. And we must accept no substitutes or alterations or adjustments from anyone, male or female, that may try to tell us otherwise. Your manhood, you know, will definitely sometimes can always be subject to emasculation. You know, second of all, you must really understand this indisputable fact. When a young man is not trained by men in the principles of mastering manhood, the default will always be that he will resort to meandering manhood. And that can be seen in 1 Samuel 3, chapter 3, verse 13. Thirdly, learning to master manhood is a process that involves intense indoctrination. And that can be found in Proverbs 4, verse 20 to 27. young men need consistent training and mentoring by both instruction and by example. And you can look it up that in 2 Kings chapter 2. Finally, as a man, you must play your part by making an ironclad commitment to train up the young men. And that those are the older men in their, you know, in their 50s and 60s that should know better, that are unfortunately not doing their part to, you know, to really, especially in the church, you know, they're chasing money and women and all kinds of things like that. But this mandate comes from God himself, and it was placed squarely upon the shoulders of men. And we can look at that in Deuteronomy 6, chapter 1 through 7. I mean, sorry, verses 1 through 7. And Psalm 78, verses 1 through 8. That means whether there are biological sons, stepsons, or young men in your church or community, you have a biblical responsibility and an obligation to train them as you play your part. You know, this will definitely turn the tide of subversion of manhood. I believe personally that there is a God, and therefore I believe that I am accountable to him, and I believe that one day I must answer to him for my life, both my actions as well as my thoughts. Mm-hmm. With this accountability, I would like, you know, I would like to draw a more specific definition of what a man is. This definition is qualified by a description of the term godly, meaning that the striving aim of the man is to pursue the obedience to God. And let's take a closer look at this. Nikki,
mm-hmm.
As a woman who is one, I get, you know, you're a single woman who would undoubtedly would like to get married one day.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you're looking for a godly man. What are the godly characteristics do you feel are lacking, and what would you like to see in the man that you would pursue as your husband?
I was married before, as you know, for 12 years, and with that came an experience. And the other thing is being called to the ministry that I'm called to, for me, and I would like to correct that statement, I'm not looking, but when he finds me.
When he finds you, of course.
That's right.
When he finds me, and you know, God reveals that situation, I would want a man who is not just learned in the word, but has a relationship with God. Because, see, the devil even knows the Bible. And because I do know the word, I don't want to be in a situation to where I have to basically pull him along and teach him and grow him up in the word. I want that to already be done. I want him to be a man of valor, which is a man of courage, and,
yes,
you know, to love Christ first.
Yes. Yes.
And it's like, if he's a man of courage because of where my faith is, and because I live truly by faith, I desire a man who lives by faith. Because when you are married, if you guys are not equal in your walk, and you're someone who lives by faith, that's like, it's like holding you back, and you got to wait until they catch up, or they don't understand when God says to, hey, walk around this house 7 times and pray to me and sing out loud. You know,
mm-hmm.
If they're not on that level with you, they're going to be asking, okay, why are we doing this? We look stupid, blah, 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 this, that, and the other, when you know what God said to do.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, I want a man who loves God first, hears God clearly, follows him blindly, moves on the drop of a dime, and therefore he's a valor man. So those are the qualities that I look for, or that when God present, because the Bible says he gives you the desires of your heart. So he gave me these desires for my husband. So those are the qualities that will be in my husband when he finds me soon. And I think a lot of those qualities are lacking in the men in the church, because, one, a lot of times they are not completely living by faith, because once again, a lot of them don't have that vertical relationship. They are a lot of women, because they've been in church, because that's all we basically run to. And a lot of women, they get under their pastor and they listen to their pastor blindly, which, once again, is not the relationship, it's the religion.
Mm-hmm.
That's a problem, I think, for a lot of the men, because it's like the woman is trying to, well, the pastor said do this, 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 and this, and the man is like, one, he's already having difficulty on trying to adjust, but it's like, okay, but a lot of times the man is picking up something. He's discerning something is not right here. So these
mm-hmm.
people aren't equal. They're not equal. And so you just see what happens is a lot of women in the church go get a man in the world, pull him in the church, sprinkle some Jesus juice on it, and try to make it work, and it don't. and it doesn't work. And so, but I think a lot of those qualities are lacking, because God made men to be the head of their household and to lead. Not that a woman is the doormat, but she's his helpmeet, which means she's basically his other view, his backup. Baby, I see it. You see it this way, but what about this point of view? Now, ultimately, it's his decision to make, but he's considering her. But it's like things are so perverse and so twisted, and that's not being taught to where, I mean, how can I know? If you know better, then usually you do better. But if you don't know better, then you do what you do.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of those qualities are lacking. It's a lot of fear and discouragement, and the men are coming out of the world, and because they're not being discipled properly by other true godly men, then those characteristics are not there. And so, therefore, you know, that's
absolutely
why you have a lot of marriages that are breaking up, and even in the church, and, you know, all kind of crazy stuff.
You know, speaking of marriages, Nikki, and you made a good point there, you know, the divorce rate, especially in Christendom, is just as high, if not higher, than the world. And I believe that you know, and it makes me ask this question. Why do men often fail to treat women with respect? And, you know, how does a godly man pursue and treat a woman? Because we hear a lot of stories, pastors being abusive to their wives, beating them, sleeping around them, all kinds of craziness. So, Minister Rice, I want to ask you that question, and then, James, I'll actually have you comment on that question too.
I believe that, first of all, my wife is the boss's daughter. And
right?
I have to be careful, you know, how I treat the boss's daughter, because the boss will get you if you mistreat, harm, or in any way, make her unhappy, because the boss will get you. So that's the boss's daughter, and I leave it at that. And secondly, I understand that being a man, and as my sister said, you know, it's ultimately the man's decision, but sometimes my decision is, what do you think, honey?
Right.
You know, you know what I mean?
Right.
I don't have to be, look, being the man of the house today, I'm not talking about years ago, but today, doesn't mean that, number one, the man owns the house, doesn't mean he makes the most money in the house, doesn't mean he has the most education in the house, and it doesn't mean that he is as well-versed with Scripture or with the word that his wife, you know, as his wife. However, it does mean that God holds us spiritually responsible for our house. Now, that's what that means.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been married for some years now, you know, and I've raised some children, and my wife and I are still together.
Amen.
And I know that if she ever talks about leaving, I know she had lost her mind, because she better pack two bags. One for me, one for her.
Yeah, you know, that's a good one.
You know, and, you know, I love the Lord, and I love my wife. my priority is the Lord first.
Right.
And everything else flows from that.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Absolutely. James, same question to you, sir.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm a single man, and my desire is to get married someday. I've been married before twice, but I had some principle in my life. When I first got married, I didn't just talk about Jesus. I lived the life. Most people said to me, leave, the wife left, but fight for the kids. I decided to fight for the kids. People said, no, just leave her, let her take the kids, and you can get married again. I said, no. I raised my two kids by myself.
Mm.
Took care of them until they went to college, okay? Then, for some reason, somehow, I didn't see the red light when I got remarried. I married someone else,
mm-hmm.
and I have a 10-year-old son. But all through that situation, the father kind of explained to me, I said, listen, my son, it's like you own nothing. So you don't own a woman. You don't own nothing upon this earth. It's a precious gift that the Father is blessing you with. Now, sometimes you see a red light and you marry someone based on their charismatic personality or maybe mm-hmm. their looks, and then you blew it because the enemy will come in that way. He will entice you, not with someone ugly or whatever, right? But
right.
with a certain... And so I was, like, enticed in a certain way, but that happened. And then I got in a situation where people said, well, all right, now what you will do? She looked at me and she said, what you will do? I decided and said, I will give up everything I got here, my child support, and take care of my son. He's my responsibility, and I will do that no matter what. I will do the right thing no matter what it costs.
Mm.
And I to do that. And today I live by that simple thing. I'm saying, Father, if you should bless me with someone, you are the Father. And that's his daughter. If
that's
I am
right.
not ready, if I am not ready as his son, then he should not give me his daughter. I have to be single until I choose to do the right thing. But if I am ready, then he choose to give me his daughter, then I have to treat his daughter right because, yes, she is my sister, but she's God's daughter.
That's right.
Right,
and
right.
And another thing I have found out is that when you have someone that the both of you know the Lord, if two of you on earth touch and agree on anything the Father says, he will do it. Why? Because there's harmony, there's
right.
togetherness, and it's a beautiful and a wonderful thing.
Absolutely.
I'm patient, and I've been, like I said, I've been patient because you know what? I want what God has for me,
right.
not what I think James wants for himself.
That's
so
right.
I'm willing to.
I
want to
comment
That's
on
an
what
awesome
James
point,
said. James, you said you made a statement, and it does go both ways. You said that we are God's women, we're God's
right.
daughters, and if you're not ready, then God is not going to present the right daughter in front of you, and that goes both ways because I had a conversation with the Lord, and I said, Lord, you know, this was a little while back. And I said, Lord, I am, there's this one particular guy that I found interest in. I'd never let him know, because I'm one of those type of people. And my mama raised me old school, so I would never chase a man, never give him any inclination. If he's for me, then he will be. But I went to the Father about him, and I said, you know, I'm attracted to his spirit, you know, and he seems to have interest in me. Is he the one? And God told me. He said, he didn't say yes or no. He simply said this to me. He said, that's my son. And you have things in you that I'm still working out. And until I'm finished doing my work in you, I'm not going to bring my son into something when the work is not finished. So it goes both ways. If you're a mighty man of valor, submitted to God in all things, he's not going to present a woman to you that's not right either. So, and he told me that point blank. And then after that, he told me, now what I want you to do is I want you to sit still for 6 months and allow me to pour into you. And then he gave me some, you know, things that he wanted me to work on. And as time had progressed and I said, okay, you know, I see that and I see this, and I didn't know this was here and I didn't know that was there, you know. And what it says to me is when you are in right relationship with God, he has definitely, I mean, we know the cliche, he'll protect us and all that, but it's truly, he loves us that much to where he will protect us. He will have our best interest in hand, but he won't force us. Now, if you decide to step out of the relationship with God and take things into your own hands, and those red flags that we say, we decide to go past the red flag and be disobedient, then, therefore, you're bringing it up on yourself, and God will sit back and he'll let you do that thing on your own. And then when you're done and you're coming back to him, then he'll say, okay, I never left you. You walked away from me. And in this day and time, it is absolutely imperative to follow the things of God and what he says to do.
Amen.
Every little thing. If he said to be still, be still. If he said to move, move. If he said
Amen.
To speak, speak. If he said to be quiet, be quiet. It isn't at this day and age, looking at the stuff that's going on TV, looking at the stuff that's going on in our own neighborhoods, looking at the stuff that's going on in the churches, that means life or death. And God is not
Amen.
Playing. And that's our
comment. Absolutely. That's an awesome comment, Nikki, as usual. And that you know, you guys, you know, we had some really good comments tonight on the Science Show. It's been great. And, guys, you know, if you're just tuning in, we are talking about the definition of a godly man, and the number to call us is 347-945-7310. Now, here's a few things that I had written down about, you know, how does a godly man pursue and treat a woman? And this is what I have here. As it pertains to his sisters, when man should protect her from selfish and perverse men, defend and build her up in public and her private reputation, assure that she has what she needs, and if she doesn't provide it, encourage her in her relationship with the Lord. Set for her an example of a godly man. And I emphasize that because we're not doing that.
Mm.
Build her up as a woman of God. Get to know her heart and encourage her godly desires. Treat her with respect. Gently correct and assist her when she's in the wrong. Be honest and open about your care and concern for her. And those are some of the things that, Nikki, being a woman, what do you think about those comments right there?
Right now in today's time, in theory, that's very good. But, I mean, and that's perfect. You would consider, you would say, okay, that's like that. That's every woman's fantasy or fairy tale. But in the natural, that's something that is not happening. Me being a woman, I absolutely demand my respect. I won't settle for anything less. You don't have to like me. You don't even have to respect me, but I won't be around for you to do anything other, whether it's a relationship, a intimate relationship, or a friend relationship, or a familiar relationship, because I know who I am, not only because of who God called me to be, but because the woman that my mother raised, I won't have it any other way. But it would be great if somebody could give a mass class on that to the men of today, because it's like they don't hardly do any of those things. And a lot of it can be said to where, well, men don't do these things because the women allow things to happen. Well, the way we'll go back again to what James says about basically being an individual. It, regardless of what the rest of the world does, if the rest of the world is doing wrong, it's not going to cause me to do wrong because of the way that I am. So it, just because maybe out of 10 women, 5 of them are floozies, that doesn't mean as a man that you should feel like, hey, well, if these 5, and this is basically what the mindset is, these 5 who have morals are not giving in to what I want, so I'll just deal with these 5 floozies, so therefore it's like I don't have to keep up a guy. And that's even going on in the church. I ain't even talking about the world. I'm talking about the church. And it's like, you know, so I don't have to hold a moral standing of what God called me to do. But what you said, that would be great. It would keep a lot of homes together. It would keep a lot of children on the right track. But you have that thing of that Luciferian spirit that's going on, period, of selfishness. It's all about me and what I want. And amen. This microwave thing, and, you know, and I got to have it now. I don't want to wait. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yeah, in theory, that's great. And if we speak it into existence, you know, it'll manifest. But unfortunately, that's not the attitude or the premise in with the men in the church. Is a lot of the men. I mean, of course, there's some, you know, and basically it's a handful of them that think the way that you just said, Raz, but mostly not, and especially California men. California men are very spoiled, and they're very like, I mean, because they're used to women just throwing it at them. And even if you are not a native of California, but you've been here for more than 10 or more years, a lot of times you slide right on into that to where you are affected by your environment instead of your environment being affected by you. And that's
absolutely
where you need to stay prayed up.
I would was going to say something like that line, because me as a single male, I see through you, right. I totally switch where is the woman now pursuing, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But when I deal with situation I have dated, not actually per se dated, but taking out ladies, and I let them know up front, I don't want nothing from you, because I already know sex is only for married people.
Mm-hmm.
I let them know up front, it's only for married people. So if we're going to go to dinner or we're going to go somewhere, when that is over, you owe me nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And think I'm weird. Really, they do.
Yeah, they think I'm weird because they feel like because that has been the norm for them. And most people, women and men alike, think that I'm weird because I hold the standard too. If you asked me and took me out and we went out, I don't feel like I owe you anything either. That's how I feel, but most women nowadays, not only do they feel like they owe the man something, but they feel like this is the thing, this is the thinking, you know, I don't want to get no crazy, Facebook's like, yeah, why are you giving up all the information, but the thinking is this, good men are so hard to come by. So when a man presents himself as being a gentleman and being chivalrous, which he should be anyway, and then on top of that, he appears to love the Lord, a lot of women on the first date, if he have those qualities, man, she already thinking in her mind, man, how, you know, say for instance his last name is Jones that she's going out on a date with, man, Betty Jones. She already starts sizing the man up as being her husband from the first date just because of those 3 qualities. But one thing that my mother did teach me was everybody puts their best foot forward in the beginning. It takes time to know who somebody is. And it's like you'll see little small things, but if you choose not to pay attention to it or say, oh, well, that's not going to make or break us, believe me, that very thing that you saw on that first date that was a red flag, or the second date, or in the phone conversation, that'll be the very thing that'll come back and get you in that marriage because the Holy Spirit was showing you already. But that's the problem with the women, the shortage of men, whether they're being gay, whether they're in prison, whether they got six or seven baby mamas and ain't taking care of none of them, whether they don't have a job. You know, I mean, it's gotten so bad to where these women are getting these men and trying to clean them up and just so they can have somebody. And so that's the thing. It's like they want to. So what's the most, quote unquote, precious thing I can give you in return to basically snag you? I give you me. But the problem is too many people are giving themselves away, and then once I get the necessary use out of you that I need it, then I'm just throwing you away. I mean, after I eat, you know, a hamburger or french fries, I don't keep the wrapper and savor it. I don't care how good the hamburger or french fries was. I don't plaster it up and put it in the picture frame and say, I love this hamburger. I'll throw that trash away. The burger is gone and whatever. And that's what's happening. People are putting themselves out there and giving their most precious gifts away. And when you shouldn't be giving it to these people in the first place. And that's why the women think you of being weird, James, because, you know, they feel like they're obligated, because the Bible also tells the older women to teach the younger women. Well, the older women aren't, either they're not here because they've passed on, or the older women are in their early to mid-40s, and they ain't got it together either. So how can I teach you if I don't know? So
well, you
like,
know what? Go ahead.
The thing
I was
is
gonna
to
say,
use
some
your
young
body.
People don't. Some young people won't listen. You know, you feel like you're throwing pearls after swine. You know, when
it
you
just depends, sit. Though. It because see, I'm only 35, and it depends, and that's part of what I do is I mentor teen mothers. That's part of my nonprofit, and it just depends. It depends upon how you go at it. Everybody can't talk to everybody, but there's
That's
somebody
true.
Out there that can minister to somebody, and you can get more bees with honey than vinegar. So it all depends on your approach, and when you're doing that, you have to be discerning. But if you're basically talking down and condescending, then yeah, the young people, they automatically put up a defense because they already see it as you're looking down at me anyway. You know, so then when you talk to me in such a manner and you can't relate to me anyway, then yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and block you out right there.
Well, I'm not talking about that, but I think that sometimes the youth of today, and it's no different than it was when I was coming up. You know, I thought I knew everything.
Right.
You know, right. And if you had, I wouldn't know my head from a hole in the ground. If you put my head next to a hole in the ground, I might decide to put that hole in the ground on top of my neck, and I'm walking around
right.
like that. You know,
right.
Part of it is that when you're older, you know the way, because you've been there, done that, got a T-shirt. You know, so you're trying to say, hey, man, if you go this way, this is what. These are the possible scenarios it could blossom into if you go this way. Here are some other scenarios it could blossom into, you know, and they're thinking, this old fool, what does he know? He doesn't
But
know
all
that.
You're doing is planting a seed. It's going to be somebody else who waters it.
Of course.
You see what I mean? But the older people don't even want to plant the seed because it's like, I don't want to be bothered.
It's frustrating. From my end, it's frustrating.
Right. But
I'm
would have
I'm
to
in
say,
an industry. I'm also a drug counselor.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of failure. The successes, for the amount of successes we have, it is worth it. But we have a lot of failures. It's very frustrating. And
right.
I was going to say something. The reason some of the things that occurs that create a big problem, they say even with divorce,
mm-hmm.
or it's the major thing is that you see red flags when you are in a dating process or you go out for tea or dinner
mm-hmm.
or whatever might
mm-hmm.
be, you see
mm-hmm.
red
flags.
Okay? And it is said that even at the altar, most divorce process starts right at the altar.
Right.
When the person say, I do, and the other person say, I do, then the lady or the man say, I got him now. No, I'm ready to change him.
Right.
Right, you're absolutely
that's true.
Right.
That's very
man.
True.
You're
that's
absolutely
very
true.
Right. But people don't realize that you can't change nobody.
No,
right.
You can't change yourself.
But your thought pattern is that I'm going to change them. I see they eat this way. I see they talk this way. I watch how they walk. Or I'm going to change all of that. Know that
right.
I have them or know that I have her. And that's the biggest, one of the biggest major problems.
And that's not saying that you might not have some positive influence over them, you know, with them, you know.
This is how I say to look at it. I say to look at it like this. If that person never changed, the thing
right.
that the red flag that bothered me, if we're gonna be honest about things, that red flag that bothers me during the dating process, if that never changes, can I still love them unconditionally?
Yeah, can you still love them? Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
if your answer is no, I don't care how fine they are. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much status they have. I don't care how good your conversation is. I don't care about any of that. If your answer is no, then you're deceiving yourself and them because your intentions are to try and change them. If that
right.
person never changes that one red thing that irritates you or those many red flags that come up, if they never change, if you cannot be happy with them, flaws and all is what I call it, then you need not to pursue it. But people pursue anyway for the fact of they don't want to be lonely, they don't want to miss out, you know, if, and it's always, if I can only get them to change this one thing, that may be who they are, period.
Right.
No matter what, just period.
Right.
That just may be
right.
who they are.
Right.
And
that's,
so
that's a good point.
The breakdown, that's where the breakdown comes in at.
And that's a good point. Let me interject real quick, guys. We're running out of time, and you know, we haven't even scratched the surface. Nikki, I hope you come back next week for sure. Is that right? Nikki, going to come back next week? Do part two?
Yeah, I'll be back next week.
Absolutely. And I want to get some closing comments for you guys real quick. And Minister Rice, thanks for coming on the show. What do you think of today's show?
I enjoyed it a lot. I did want to tell Nikki, my wife begged me. It was so embarrassing. She begged me, please marry me. And, you know, and I just felt sorry for her. And I just, you know. So.
Yeah, right. I bet that story is completely different.
It was just shameless, you know. So.
I think,
you know,
I hear her backpacking.
You better pack too. You know,
Minister
I had a good
Rice,
time
what,
today. It was a good discussion. You know, invite me back again. I'd love to come back.
We'll have you back on next week as we do part two. We haven't even scratched the surface. We expanded a lot of topics today within the topic, main topic, of course, but we'll definitely have you on for part two next week. And thanks for coming on the show, Minister Rice.
Okay.
Brother James, what's your closing comments? What do you think of today's show?
You know what? It was a tremendous show, and the Lord is good, and I pray that there was a lot of people out there, or probably still out there, that was listening, and their life will be impacted. And I pray also that the Lord will give them courage, and ourselves courage, to do what is right. Be strong, do what is right, and give him all the praise, the honor, and glory.
Jesus.
Amen. Amen. Sister Nikki, your closing comments, and what do you think of today's show?
I think it was good. Different panel, very good discussion. You know, iron sharpens iron, and, you know, I think it was going down on the show today, and I think it was real good. I was glad to be back on. Haven't been on in a while.
Absolutely. Well, guys, thanks for coming on the show. We're running out of time. Can we talk? Tune in same time next week, every Friday from 8 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We will talk to you soon. Have a blessed night. Peace.
God bless you.
God bless you.
that comes in the call and wants to be saved, come in the show and see if it doesn't come.
What's
the deal?
No.